So the 10th chapter, Dashamodhyayah, Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti means the glories. So we can chant, those who have that, please chant after me. Atha Dashamodhyayah, Vibhuti Yoga, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Bhuya Eva Mahabaho, Shrunu Me Paramam Vachaha, Yatteham Priyamanaya, Vakshyami Hita Kamyaya. So the 10th chapter, Dashamodhyayah, Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti means the glories. So in this 10th chapter, you will see the glories of the Lord. And how it will become very easy to see the Lord once we have studied this 10th chapter. And it starts with Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Because this Bhagavad Gita was the knowledge given by the Lord himself, by the Lord Krishna himself to the student. That's why it says Shri Bhagavan. Bhagavan means the Lord. Shri means, again, it's a respectful way. So Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, and the Lord said. Now here, lot of times in some of the chapters, we find that the student asks a question. Arjuna asks a question and the Lord replies. Now here, the Lord starts on his own. The teacher does not wait for the student to ask. And why is that? Because he sees that the student's heart is just filled with joy and he's so happy and so thrilled and so excited, because the highest knowledge of the Upanishads, which he used to think was very, very difficult, you know, very hard to understand, and you had to go to the forest and live like a monk, you know, in the forest and all. And here my teacher, even in the midst of the battle, in all the worldly problems, you know, like we are all in a way in battle, because we all have our problems, we all have our, you know, battles to fight, all have our problems. And in this living in the world and functioning as a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or a mother or a father or a housewife, still, if one studies the 7th, 8th and 9th chapters, we can get the knowledge of the Upanishads, the highest knowledge, which has been made simple for us. You know, like they say, like I when I got my iPhone, I bought a book called iPhone for Dummies. And I found that very useful, because I, you know, was a dummy. And so using that book, now I can, you know, work a little bit with my iPhone. I can answer emails and do things. So similarly, this is Upanishad for Dummies. For people like us who find it difficult to study the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita is a simple manual which explains it. And so the student was so happy. He was so thrilled, and the teacher could see the joy in his face. So he says, Bhuya eva mahabaho. O student, Bhuya means again, eva bhuya, again, eva mahabaho. O great warrior, O great soldier. Shrunu, shrunu is the imperative mode. Shrunu means listen. Listen me paramam vachaha. Listen to my param vacha, the supreme words, the highest words. Please listen to them. And why am I telling you? You know, why? What is the reason to tell? You know, there has to be a reason. Otherwise, the teacher is not going to keep on speaking. Why am I speaking? He says, yat te ham priyamana hai. Why am I telling te ham, aham, te? Yat means this knowledge. Te aham, I am giving you this knowledge. Why? Because priyamana hai. Because you are enjoying it. You are enjoying this knowledge, and that's why I am giving it to you. I can see the delight in your face. I can see the happiness. Vakshyami, and I shall tell you. Why? A, because you are enjoying it, and B, hita kamyaya, for your benefit. Because kamya means I have this desire to help you. So we'll just cover this each one. So first he says, listen to these words again. And why does he call him Mahabaho? Why does he call him a great warrior? He could have called him Arjuna. He could have called him Kaunteya. He could have called him Partha. Why did he call him Mahabaho? for several reasons. One is that when you want someone to do something, the best thing is to praise him, right? Like you want your child to pick up the firewood, you know, bring it from outside into the inside, into the fireplace. If you tell him, go pick up the firewood and bring it, he'll say no. But if you tell him, you know what, you are so strong, I know you can pick up this firewood and bring it here in 5 minutes. I am strong. So then he will quickly run and bring it, right? Or you tell him, you are a smart boy or a smart girl. This math problem should be easy for you. Why are you struggling so much? You are so smart. Just put your mind to it. So you find that when you praise your child, you get that child to accomplish a lot more. If you tell him, you are so stupid, you can't even understand these simple math problems, guess what? He's not going to pay any attention because you already called him stupid and said you don't know. So then it'll be doubly hard to teach the child to study the math problems. But if you tell the child, you know, you are so smart. Last week you had studied those problems which were so difficult. I was so proud of you. And the child is now inspired, you know, wants to do better. So that is the idea, that the teacher should praise the student, and then the student is encouraged. So by telling him a great warrior, a great person, he is praising the student. The second meaning of the great warrior is that Arjuna was a great warrior. He was the greatest warrior of his time. And at one time he had actually defeated a smaller army of the Kauravas, but the entire army he had single-handedly defeated. And he was the best archer of his time. So what he's telling him is that you are a great warrior and you have conquered the outside world. There is nobody in the whole of India who can compete against you. But you have not conquered your own mind. You're still failing, you know. You have conquered the outside world, but what about your inner world? Your mind and your desires and and that's how we all are. You know, we feel that I am so successful, I have accomplished so much. But until you conquer your own desires, your own emotions, conquer does not mean that you crush them, but the ability to direct the mind in the direction I want it. If I want it to sit for meditation, it should sit for meditation. If I want it to sit for puja, it should sit for puja. If I want it to be doing work, it should be doing work. My mind should not be running in 1,000 places. The ability to channel one's abilities, and not only the mind, but even the body, we find that, you know, I want to do something, but I am so tired. I don't feel like getting out of bed. You know, I want to sleep in today. So the ability to channel your powers in that higher direction is very important. And that's what he says, a great warrior, you have conquered the outside world, now it is time for you to progress internally, and then only your progress is complete. If all you do is you're the king of everything, but then the smallest tragedy comes and you fall apart, and then you start crying and you are totally destroyed, and then you're ready to commit suicide, and what use is that? And that's what we find in the youngsters, you know, they have accomplished so much in their studies and they are so brilliant, but they cannot handle the smallest tragedy. There was a story a few years ago about this girl, very brilliant, who had just finished her medical school, was doing her internship. Very brilliant, very smart, was the top of her class, all straight A's. And then she fell in love with this boy who belonged to a different religion. And there was a conflict, and her parents and his parents wouldn't agree to the marriage. And she took pills and killed herself. You know, she committed suicide. So what a tragedy, what a loss of a brilliant brain. You know, she could have contributed so much to society as a physician. But why? Because the little stress came, I can't marry this boy, so life is not worth living. So that is the problem, that you may be very successful in the outer world, but until you have this real knowledge of who I am, which can only come from the scriptures, from reading the Bhagavad Gita or the Bible or the Quran or the Guru Granth Sahib. Reading these scriptures will give you that highest knowledge. And that is only the one, then only truly you can be called a Mahabaho. Then only you can be called a successful, accomplished individual when you have conquered the outer world and my inner mind and intellect and my desire. So that's what he tells him, Mahabaho. In a way, it's a little sarcastic comment also, because he says, you are a great warrior, But now you need to win over your inner tendencies. Then he says, Shrunu me paramam vachar. Listen to my supreme words. Supreme is not trying to brag. You might say, you know, you are saying, oh, my words are supreme. It's not that. Krishna knows that this is the highest knowledge. And it has come all the way from the Lord himself. In the fourth chapter, he says that I, as the Lord, gave this knowledge to the sun god, to the gods in heaven. And then from there it came to the great kings and to the rishis. And from there this knowledge has come. That's why in India we call it as a guru shishya parampara, the tradition of guru to shishya. That from one teacher to the student then becomes a teacher. And so it has, this knowledge has come down for generations, for thousands of years it has been coming. And the Lord himself is the teacher. Even in our there is another very famous shloka, Yada Shiva Samarambam Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam. He says the Lord Shiva is the originator of this knowledge. And then from there it has come down to, you know, Shankaracharya and Ved Vyas and all those gurus. And then my teacher, Swami Chinmayananda, I prostrate to him, to my current teacher, because it is through that the Lord himself that I see the teacher and the Lord as one. Vande Guru Paramparam, I prostrate to that. So that is what he's saying, that this knowledge I am giving you is the highest knowledge. It's paramam vacha. My words are supreme. They are the highest. And please listen. Shrunu means listen. See, there is a difference between hearing and listening. And our kids, especially teenagers, are experts at that. They hear, but they don't listen. Yeah, I heard it, but I didn't listen. Mom, did you tell me? Yeah, I told you. I don't remember. I didn't hear it. So he says, don't just hear, but listen. Shrunu, listen to me. And why am I telling him, telling you, Priyamanaya? Because you are delighted in this knowledge. And that is very important, that when I pick up this book and read it, it should be with supreme delight. It is so wonderful. It is the Lord's own words. The Lord's, his own knowledge, his own words given by himself. The Lord appeared on the earth as Krishna and he is giving me this knowledge. What better vehicle I can have? What better postman I can have? You know, the postman brings the mail, somebody else, say my teacher sent me a letter and the postman brings it. But if the teacher walks all the way to my house and then gives me that letter, how much more thrilled I'll be, you know, instead of just sending it through the mail. That's why they say, when you want to invite somebody to your wedding, either call, you know, to your son's wedding, either call that person or go personally to deliver the message, because then it comes from your heart instead of just mechanically sending it. Nowadays, they don't even send a postcard, email, you know, just come to the wedding. And that's so impersonal. So here, the Lord himself has come down on this earth and is giving us this knowledge. So it should be a thrill for us. It should be a delight. And Arjuna's face, he could see that. He could see that the student is, his eyes are brimming with tears and his face is just glow. There is a glow on his face. And Vakshyami Hita Kamyaya. And that's what we have to see, that the Lord always has our interest at heart. Hita Kamyaya. I am interested in your welfare. You say, ah, but I get so much suffering and I have so many problems. And, you know, why does the Lord give me problems? One is, you know, if you look at the law of karma, which we have talked about, that every action that is happening is creating good and bad results. And these good and bad results either appear in this lifetime itself, which the majority of time they do, or they could appear in subsequent lifetime. Like if I was a very good person and I didn't get my just reward, then in the next lifetime you will get it. Or if I was a horrible person and hurt and, you know, tortured everybody and I still died and did not suffer, I was rich, then, you know, for sure it will be carried. Or at the last stages of my life, in this life also, will be miserable. Majority, 90-95% of the karmas are taken care of in this life itself, whether good or bad. But if you do escape, then the law of karma catches up. That is one. The second way to look at it, which Swami Chinmayananda talks about, Gurudev, he says that we are all in this divine hospital. You know, we are all of us are sick and all of us in the hospital. Because the fact that we were born, that means we have some vasanas, we have some selfish tendencies. Otherwise, we would not have been born. And so we are in this hospital called Earth, or you can call it a hospital called Bakersfield or California. So in this hospital, there is only one doctor, and he is the one divine doctor. And he gives each and every one of us the right medicine that we need to get well. Not only in my own life, but the people, the person I marry, or the child that is born to me, or the job I get, or the boss I get, or the neighbor or the co-worker, every one of those is there to teach me a lesson. And if I learn from that, then I'll be okay. And then that's what one should understand, that what you meet in life is destiny, Gurudev says. And how you meet it is free will. Either one way is you can keep on crying and complaining and say, oh, my life is so miserable, I have been. Or you look at it as this life is I think last week you mentioned that this life is a school. I think somebody mentioned on last Sunday that we are here to learn. You call it a school, or I think maybe Hansa said, or that life is a hospital. You are here to learn. You are here to get well. And how do you get well? When you have no selfish desires, when you have no selfish vasanas, and you become a symbol of love and compassion, you know, like Mirabai or St. Francis or Tukaram or Raman Maharishi. So when you have no selfish desires, when you have no selfish vasanas, then you are cured. And then you don't, like, when I'm cured, then do I need to go back to the hospital? No, I am cured. No, I don't need to go back. I'm fine. I can go home. But until we get cured, we have to keep coming back to this hospital. And the idea is that I don't want to come back to this hospital. I've had enough of this. I've had enough of needles and pinpricks and people taking blood and people hanging me with one leg up in the air and shooting all kind of x-rays. I'm sick and tired. I'm healthy and I want to go home. So if you don't want to come back to this hospital, realize, become one with him. And once you realize the truth and you become one with the Lord, then you do not need to be born again. And so that's what the Lord is saying, that you are here and you are suffering, even though it doesn't look like, but we are all going through the pinpricks of life. When you realize the truth and you become one with him, then you no longer need to come. And that's why this knowledge, he says, hita kamyaya, I'm giving this knowledge. Why? Because you should not suffer. As Gurudev says, sorrow is inevitable, suffering is optional. Sorrow everybody has. But do I take it as sorrow and I suffer, or do I take it as, it's okay, it is part of life, but I am not that. I am the consciousness. I am above that. And let the body have problems. Let the mind have problems. But I am fine. And so then a wise person, even when the body is deteriorating, or even if somebody insults them, or somebody doesn't praise them, or somebody doesn't love them, they are fine. You can even crucify them. You can even torture them like Mirabai, even poison them, or even like Prahlad, throw them off the cliff. But a person who has realized the truth, nobody can hurt him. Nobody can affect him, because he becomes one with the Lord. And then he says, I am that. The Lord is in me and I am that part of him. And that this paltry world cannot touch me. This world is nothing. And so that understanding, he says, that is what I am giving you. Hita kamyaya, for your benefit. Because you will learn from this knowledge and you will benefit. And actually, we have to realize that everything is happening because of him. Whatever I am doing, whatever I am accomplishing, whatever I am getting, whatever I am obtaining, everything is the Lord and Lord and Lord and Lord alone. I just unnecessarily put my ego and say, I am the doer. You know, I am such a wonderful person. I have done so much for the world, and the world doesn't appreciate. And nobody even said thanks when I did. You know, that is our little ego getting hurt. I did so much for this person, he didn't even thank me. I went to his house and did so much, and he didn't even give me a cup of coffee. You know, so that is how we judge our, you know, egos get little hurt. This reminds me of a beautiful story. I'll end with that. So there was this king who was driving in his, you know, in those days they had this horse carriage. You know, it was a pretty big size horse carriage, and the king was riding alone. There were four horses and they were pulling, and very handsome, nice beautiful carriage made of gold and all. And he was driving along the road, and he was going between one village to another village, going to inspect some part of his kingdom. And he saw this old man bent over carrying a heavy load on his head. And he was barely walking. It was hot. It was afternoon, summer, and poor guy was sweating. And usually, of course, kings, they just go by. But on that day, he was feeling kind. So he told his driver, stop. So he stopped. He said, told the old man, you know, please come. I'll take you. Where are you going? He said, I'm going to the next village, 5 miles away. 5 miles you're going to carry this heavy load? Yes, sir. What can I do? I have to take it to the market to sell. If I don't sell, I don't have money and I cannot feed my, you know, my family and my grandchildren, and everybody is waiting at home. King said, okay, you can ride in my carriage. Ride in your carriage. You know, my clothes are dirty and your carriage is so beautiful. No, come on, don't worry about it. So he slowly, very reluctantly, he gets on and he sits in one corner because he's so afraid, you know, because he's overwhelmed by the king's presence. And then he's still keeping that bag on his head, that heavy load. And so the king says, you know, put it down. Why are you still carrying it? You know, I'll take you and your load both to the market. He said, no, I cannot put my load down. So king says, why? He says, your honor, your majesty, you are doing me such a favor by taking me in your carriage. At least let me carry my own package so that I can take it, you know, so I don't bother you too much. So, but we laugh at him, but we are absolutely as silly as that person. We are not any wiser, because it is the Lord that is carrying us and taking us and doing everything for us. But we get this little ego that I am the one who did it. I did so much, and I am so smart, and I am so intelligent, and I am such a wonderful person, and I did so much. So it's not that one should not have self-esteem. It is good to have self-esteem, but it should not translate into ego and arrogance. And that's what we should remember, that these teachings have been given by the Lord to us for our benefit. Why? Because He loves us. And that is one thing that should never be forgotten, no matter how much suffering I have, no matter how many problems I have, I should remember that there is one person who loves me and will continue to love me no matter how evil I may become, how bad I may become. If I turn to the Lord, no matter how, in the 9th chapter he says, Api cheta suduracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhu reva samantavyah samyak vyavasito hi sah. He says, even he may be the worst criminal, but if he turns to me in love, I consider him a saint, and I am ready to open my heart and accept him with love. So that attitude one should have, that the Lord always loves me, always has my interest at heart, and if I am having certain problems, they are meant for me to get well, for me to evolve. And with that attitude, when you meet the problems in the world, and nothing bothers you. That is your free will. See, otherwise they say, oh, mera to bhagya kharab hai. You know, my destiny is bad. I am suffering. And it is somebody up there who's just, you know, he finds all the world's problems and puts them on me. Why doesn't he put it on my neighbor? You know, my neighbor is so happy. Why am I? So we think that all the world's problems are on me. But when you understand that how I meet it is free will, and that is what is, that's what distinguishes a human from an animal. A dog, you know, does not know. A dog just lives by instinct. But a human, the intelligence and the intellect comes when you can face the world problems. So this is a very beautiful verse, and it kind of introduces us to why the 10th chapter was given, because the teacher wants us to learn, and he sees that we are enjoying this knowledge. Like all of you are here and keep coming back, you must be getting something out of it, otherwise you wouldn't. So that is good, and that's what encourages, you know, us to keep on, you know, teaching, and that's good. So we have a few minutes if anybody has any questions, comments. True. So vasanas are, they could be good or they could be bad. So the goal of spirituality is to substitute the bad vasanas with good vasanas. You know, like the prayer of Saint Francis, O Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is anger, let me sow love. Where there is hatred, compassion. So slowly I should substitute my positive tendencies and remove negative tendencies. And eventually go, and if I have any talents or habits or desires, serve them, use them to serve the Lord. Like another place they said, if you have a desire to do work a lot. So instead of working for myself, I start working for the Lord, or I start working for society. Somebody has a tendency to accumulate. I want more money, more money, more money. Instead of saying more money, let me chant the Vishnu Sahasranama 10 times today. Yesterday I did it 5 times. Today I'll do it 10 times. Yesterday I meditated for half an hour. Today I'll meditate for an hour. I have more time. So you start accumulating more merits instead of accumulating more dollars and more cents. So the same tendencies and talents can be, or if you have an artistic ability, yeah, you need to have an artistic ability to earn a living, but then start using the abilities that there is a hospital being built or a library being built. I'll go and paint a beautiful mural there, you know, so that the people who come to this library or come to this hospital lobby will be thrilled. So I'm using that same talent to serve mankind. And that is how you slowly go beyond the vasanas, whether good or bad, to realize the truth. So yeah, it's a very nice question. Thank you. Right. Well, I think there are two aspects to this. One is, yeah, it seems unfair. Secondly, a person who has been bad throughout his life is not suddenly going to become a saint. If he has been thinking of money, at the time of death, he will think of money too. If he has been thinking violence. So he's not suddenly going to change. And B, of course, the law of karma, you cannot escape. But what he says in the 9th chapter, samyak vyavasito hi saha. But in this life itself, even he may be an evil person, but if he totally dedicates his life to knowing me and serving me, sometimes it can happen that you may realize the truth. Like Valmiki was a great saint who actually was a robber and had murdered a lot of people. And the story most of you know, but in brief, he meets this saint, Naradji, and he wants to kill him, to steal from him. And then Naradji says, why are you killing me? He says, I want to get money to take care of my wife and children. So he says, okay, go and ask your wife and children. He was a murderer, a robber. Will they share your sins? And so he goes and asks his wife and children, now I've committed so many murders to feed you. Are you going to take part of my sin? They said, no. You know, we didn't ask you to murder. You could have gone out and worked hard and earned for us. If you murdered, you are the responsible for your sins. We are not going to. And you cannot transfer your sins to somebody else. So he comes back and then he tells Naradji, I'm so sorry. You know, I have done something horrible. So he says, okay, what should I do? He says, just sit down and chant the name of the Lord. And he sits down and starts chanting. And it is said he sat in that one place for years where an ant hill grew around him. Actually, ants made a house around him and he didn't move for years. So he changed his name from Ratnakar. They started calling him Valmiki. Valmiki means the ant hill one. So that became his name. And then he woke up from that and he was a realized saint. Because having sat in meditation just by listening to that guru. So then for such a person, all his past karmas are gone. Because he has already woken up. It's like in my dream, I committed 10 murders. When I woke up, do I get punished for those 10 murders? No, because I am woken up. It was in the dream. So in this world, if you have committed a lot of crimes, but first of all, you won't realize. But if you ever happen to realize in that rare case, then that person's sins are washed off, but otherwise not. No, but there was a difference. They were thought of the Lord constantly. They thought of them in fear. Kansa and Ravana were thinking, Lord is coming, he's going to kill me. For years they were thinking that. So whether you think of the Lord in love or fear or anger or hatred or jealousy, when you think about him, it purifies your mind. It's like a detergent. When you put detergent in your clothes, whether you put the detergent with love or you put it with anger, I'm angry at my husband, I'm throwing my detergent in there to wash his clothes, the clothes will still get cleaned, right? Whether I'm angry at the clothes or whether I'm happy at the clothes. The clothes, why do I have to wash the clothes? The clothes still get cleaned. So similarly, the Lord's name is like a detergent. Whether you remember him with joy or sorrow or hatred or anger, it still purifies your mind. So they constantly thought about the Lord for years. Yes? But it has to be a total change of your person, which doesn't happen just like that. You know, mechanically, if you just say, God, forgive me of all the bad things. But if you're, like she said, if your heart is not changed, and if you really are from inside, you are still as wicked, it doesn't happen. So first of all, like she said, it won't even happen. It's not even going to happen. But I think, but the idea behind it is that by confessing, at least the person is becoming aware that I have made a mistake, and hopefully that person will change. That is the idea, that at least now I became aware that I lied or I did this evil deed or I hurt somebody, and then hopefully awareness is the first thing. First, people don't even know I did anything wrong. You tell them you did wrong, I didn't do it. It was the person deserved it. But at least now I became aware, then that is the first step towards correction. So I think that is the idea. That's what Gurudev says. Even to deny God, you need His grace. Even to say there is no God, there is no God, right? Right. Chanting. I hate God. I hate God. You say it 1,000 times. That's very good. It's better if you say I love Him. That's even better. But you just mention the. They say just chant the name Krishna or Ram or Jesus or whatever. Just chanting the name itself will purify your mind. Whether you do it with love or hatred. I think you had a question or comment. Absolutely, no, you're totally right, 100%. You have to eliminate from the cause, not just eliminate the symptoms, but eliminate at the vasana level, which is the cause. No, very good, thank you. Good point. That is the idea of these teachings, that they remove the vasanas. Like somebody told, you know, Swami Tejomayananda once, he was talking to some other, from somebody who belonged to some other faith, and that person says, you know what, my guru is very great. So Swami Tejomayananda, who is the head of the mission now, Guruji, so he says, my guru is very great. He says, why? He says, you know why? Because I had a backache. I went to my guru, he patted me on my back, and my backache was gone. Swami Tejomayananda says, that's very good. He says, my guru is even greater. He says, why? He says, he removed my back altogether. I don't have a back. So there's no question of backache. Means he taught me that I am that Brahman. I am that consciousness. And this body is not real. It's just a temporary clothes I have. So he removed my back. So whether there is a backache or no backache doesn't matter. So that is the highest knowledge. Removing, you can cure somebody's backache. But if you tell him you don't have a back, then he'll never get another backache. Otherwise, you cure his backache, then next week it will come back. Then again, he has to go to the guru and again get some massage. So you're right. That's the highest knowledge.